This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Good morning, everyone. Get adjusted my new time slot here. This is Keith Rogers here with Perception Management here on Republic Broadcasting Radio. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, or if you're if you're more impaired there financially there, you can call 1-800-313-9443. I have 9 video clips for you for material today, but I hope to get through most of it before most callers might want to call in. Today is Sunday the 28th. Of March 2021, and boy, the time is just flying. Join us in the chat room at perceptionmanagement.chatpengo.com. And today's theme is When the Petri Dish Becomes a Culture of Fear. And I had received a PDF before preparing this show here, which kind of dovetails into the research for today's show, so I thought it would include it. I'll include a link in the chat room to it just after I read this here. So, and as a disclaimer to today's show, all information contained can be freely sourced from the web with little effort. So this document is called the Fauci COVID-19 Dossier. And the document is prepared by for the humanity for Dr. David E. Martin. And over the past 2 decades, his company, this MyCam, has been monitoring possible violations of the 1924 protocols for prohibition of the use in war of asphyxiating and poisonous and other gases and bacteriological methods of warfare. And the Geneva Protocol comes into here from 1972. And this goes on talking about using toxic weapons and stuff. And again, like I said, I will insert this link here. It's a pretty good read there into the chat room. So let me get over here to do that. There we go. To be screens open right now. So that's posted. All right, so let's get back to my show here. For decades, we have watched under the premise of national security, those in power continued in the field of biowarfare, claiming that some alleged enemy might use said mentioned weapons against us and that they need to be prepared just in case. And so for today, I have some clips from out of the pages of history that will highlight the dangers and the use of these said pathogens and other of whom through the use of those have created today an industry of making disease and then offering a vaccine or a tablet as a cure. Billions of dollars are to be made in this other so-called petri dish, the culture of fear. So due to the length of some clips, I may take some short calls in between the commercial breaks, but my first clip here, I'd like to play clip number 1, if Sam can do that for me.
Leading off today are Mr. Richard Helms, who was the director of the CIA during the period in question, and Mr. Tom Karamassinis, who was the deputy director for plans during that period. They are appearing together at the witness table, and gentlemen, I'd ask you to stand now to take the oath.
You solemnly swear that all the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I know.
Before I ask counsel to commence with the questions, since I understand that you do not have an opening statement.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
I have a letter that I'd like to read that came to me this morning from Mr. Colby, the present director of the CIA. It reads as follows. Dear Mr. Chairman, at the proceedings of your committee, on the morning of 16 September 1975, I may have conveyed an impression which I did not intend. If by chance you or other members of the committee got a similar impression, it is important that I clarify the record now, since it might affect your line of questioning of future witnesses. When I was being questioned as to the destruction of certain CIA records, I was thinking of the question in its broadest context, namely, drugs, bacteriological agents, and chemical agents. I thus answered that there were indications of record destruction in November 1972. I realized that most listeners might have inferred that I was indicating that records relating to the CIA-Fort Detrick relationship, in particular, records relating to Project MK Naomi, were destroyed. The facts are these. Records relating to CIA's drug program in general were destroyed in January 1973, but there is no evidence that records of Project MK Naomi or of the CIA-Fort Detrick relationship were destroyed, other than possibly as included in the general group in January 1973. I would appreciate it if you would advise the other members of the committee to this effect. I also referred mistakenly to a memorandum between former DCI Helms and Dr. Gottlieb regarding the destruction of records. This was based on a misunderstanding which occurred during my hurried consultation with Dr. Stevens. We have no knowledge of any such memorandum. Signed by William E. Colby, and thus becomes part of the record in these hearings. Now, Mr. Schwartz, would you please commence the question?
Mr. Helms, without going through your pedigree in the CIA, is it correct to say that you started the OSS, you were with the CIA from its beginning, you were at the covert side, you became head of the Deputy Directorate of Plans. You stayed in that position until approximately 66 when you became Deputy Director of the agency. You became Director of the agency in 67 until you left in 73.
No, sir, that's not quite correct. The positions are correct, but I became Deputy Director in 1965 and Director, I believe, around June 30th, 1966.
All right. And Mr. Karamassinis, you were at the agency in the covert side for your entire career. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
And in 1970, you were Deputy Director for Plans.
Yes, I was.
Hey. Gentlemen, for your own convenience and for the convenience of the committee, could you pull your microphones a little closer, please? Thank you.
Mr. Helms, were you aware that the Central Intelligence Agency had a capability to use bacteriological and chemical weapons offensively?
Yes, I was aware of that. If one has in one's possession or under one's control bacteriological or chemical weapons, they can be used both defensively and offensively.
And Mr. Karamassinis, you were also aware of that as of 1970 and before, were you not?
Yes.
And by use offensively, we mean to include killing people, is that right?
Well, they have the capacity to kill people if they were used in that way.
Now, did you connect the CIA's capability with Fort Detrick?
I beg your pardon?
Did you connect the CIA's biological capability with Fort Detrick, an Army facility?
I don't certainly know what you mean by the word connect, but the biological weapons, as you refer to them, which the agency was experimenting with, were kept at Fort Detrick. This was a joint program between the two organizations, the U.S. Army facility at Fort Detrick and the CIA. I believe that we paid Fort Detrick for that part of the facility and that part of the materials which we used.
Now, did you know, Mr. Helms, one way or the other, whether the agency also had in its own possession and in its own facilities certain quantities of lethal biological or chemical materials?
It was always my impression that the bacteriological warfare agents and things of that kind were kept at Fort Detrick. I realized that the agency had in its possession in Washington and in some cases at overseas stations things like L tablets and K tablets, which certainly were lethal, but which had limited uses.
Now, recognizing it's difficult to be sure of a negative, let me ask you the question nevertheless. Did you know that the only location of CIA biological weapons was at Fort Detrick, or was it a possibility in your mind that there were such weapons located within CIA facilities themselves?
I thought they were all at Fort Detrick.
Mr. Karamitsinis, did you have any different understanding?
I also understood that they were at Fort Detrick, with the modification that there might be a small amount of some of these chemicals within the custody of the Technical Services Division.
And in a CIA facility?
Yes.
All right. So here we see the objective here is that the CIA has use of these biochemical weapons, and they also went from defensive to offensive. And we'll learn later here about the little guns and stuff that they have used on guard dogs and stuff like that. But in this next clip, we'll be learning, though, that Helms and others, they only heard of this information through stories in the media or newspapers. Nothing was heard direct, and they blame this on the so-called chain of evidence of top-secret files, which are marked top-secret so that no one can see them. So with that, Sam, can you play clip two, please?
Ambassador Helms, at some point did you learn that President Nixon had concluded that the United States should renounce biological warfare and should destroy stocks of biological weapons?
Yes, I was aware of this. In fact, I was aware that the matter was under study from the early days of President Nixon's administration, because I attended a National Security Council meeting at which he announced that he intended to have this study made.
And Mr. Karamitsinis, did you at some point become aware that President Nixon wished to have such materials destroyed?
Yes.
What did either one of you do, if anything, to make sure that such material in the possession of the CIA, Mr. Karamitsinis, or in the possession of Fort Detrick, Mr. Helms, should be destroyed?
Are you directing the first question to Mr. Karamitsinis?
Well, why don't
the second
you take it
one
first
to me?
Why don't you take it first, Mr. Ambassador, and Mr. Karamitsinis second?
My recollection is that when the order was issued to do away with these bacteriological agents and toxins, that Mr. Karamitsinis and I agreed that we had no choice but to comply. In fact, when I say no choice, I don't mean to indicate that we wanted any other choice. I just meant that this was we had understood that this was an instruction that we were to abide by, and we agreed to terminate the program.
And by terminate the program, you mean terminate the program with
Fort Detrick? At Fort Detrick, yes.
What's your understanding of what was done, Mr.
Karamitsinis? Precisely the same.
All right, Mr. Karamitsinis, with respect to your answer that you did know that TSD had in its own possession certain biological agents, did you do anything to have those destroyed?
Yes, it was my understanding with Dr. Gottlieb that not only would our program be terminated, but whatever materials of this nature that might be in the custody of the agency or were in the custody of the agency would be returned to Fort Detrick for destruction.
Did you instruct Dr. Gottlieb to accomplish that?
Yes, I did, but I want to elaborate on that comment, lest I leave the impression that there was some reservation on the part of Dr. Gottlieb. There's no question in my mind about the fact that Dr. Gottlieb, Mr. Helms, and I were of one mind as to what we should do with the program and the materials. They should be got rid of. And instructions were accordingly issued to Dr. Gottlieb.
In that conversation, was Mr. Helms made aware of the fact that there were materials in the possession of the CIA itself?
I can't recall.
Would you both look at the document previously marked as Exhibit 1, which, Senators, is in your book at Tab F, which purports to be a draft memorandum from Mr. Karamassinis to the Director of Central Intelligence. Have you both seen that document previously?
Yes, and I'd like to make a comment with respect to that document, if I may, Mr. Schwartz.
Would you please?
The comment relates to a story in the Sunday, in the Evening Star yesterday. It was a mistaken story, but it does say that the committee provided the Star, or made available, a copy of this memorandum, quote, written by me, unquote. Now, I didn't write the
I might say, Mr. Karamassinis, that that memorandum was made available to all newspapers as a result of the public hearing.
I'm sure of
featured yesterday.
I'm sure. Thank you, sir. I never saw this memorandum. I never wrote the memorandum. I never signed such a memorandum. And I was unaware of the contents of the memorandum.
And Ambassador Helms, you never saw such a memorandum?
No, Mr. Schwartz.
Right. Now, Mr. Ambassador, I want to follow one line with you, and then my questioning will be finished, relating to your comment that you heard early that the president, that is, President Nixon, was interested in getting rid of biological weapons.
Biological weapons in war, I think that we ought to be pretty precise about this, because he was trying to do away with the use of bacteriological and chemical agents in wartime. In other words, to destroy populations and so forth. And this was the general thrust of that whole investigation.
Well, are you trying to take the same position that Dr. Gordon did yesterday, that the president's order didn't apply to the CIA?
No, I was just trying to correct what you were saying. You were far too general in your statement of what President Nixon had in mind.
Is it your understanding that the president's order did apply to the CIA?
Certainly.
Now, after the subject was first raised by President Nixon, was there a study group formed by the National Security Council?
I would have assumed so, because when matters were taken under advisement at the National Security Council, some staff mechanism went into effect to draft the papers and the options and so forth so that the president could make a final decision.
Did you yourself disclose to such a body, such a group, the fact that the Central Intelligence Agency had and had had biological stocks of biological weapons?
I do not recall having divulged to this group. In fact, I don't think that under normal circumstances we would have divulged a secret activity of this kind to this particular study group.
Did you divulge such activity to Mr. Kissinger, who was then the secretary of the NSC?
I don't recall having discussed it with Dr. Kissinger.
Did you disclose such activity to President Nixon?
Well, the existence of the activity in the agency and similar activities, I'm sure, were known to proper authorities over a period of time in the particular context of this event that you're speaking about. In other words, that the president decided to make a study of this. I don't recall mentioning this to him or conveying the information to him in that context.
Well, let's be quite precise in connection with that answer, Mr. Ambassador. Did you disclose to President Nixon, from the time he took office and thereafter, the fact that the CIA had a program which included the offensive use capability to use offensively biological devices in order to kill people?
I do not recall having briefed President Nixon on that or several other programs, but you will recall, Mr. Schwartz, that he was once vice president for 8 years and was privy to a lot of things that were going on in the agency then, which he carried over to the presidency, so that what the degree to which he was aware of this program, I simply don't know.
But that's the point. You don't know, do you, Mr. Helms, based upon his prior service as vice president, whether or not he was aware of the agency's program, do you?
No, I don't.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so what we learned from this clip here is that it seems like there's a communications breakdown between all parties concerned, especially namely those within the CIA. And again, where they were getting their information was each was reading from different posts of the different newspapers. So with that, Sam, could you play clip three?
I thought that it was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Senator, do you think that you named the news organizations in your final report?
That remains to be decided.
I think it was entirely in order for our correspondents at that time to make use of CIA agent chiefs of station and other members of the executive staff of CIA as sources of information which were useful in their assessments of world conditions.
Say that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s...
Well, so there you have it. I have a featured clips on this show here too before where John Stockwell, he admitted as ex-CIA that he had a whole list of stories that as the news would break, he would hurry up and he would submit one to one of their reporters, and they would run with that story, even though it wasn't true, but they would run with that story. And this is one way that they keep covering themselves over and over again. But again, there seems to be something shadowy happening here within the CIA with keeping other information from even like Richard Helms, who was head of the CIA. So this is a portion, though, of your shadow government. The phone lines are open, too, if you'd like to call in. The next clip I have is going to be longer here, so I'm going to wait till after the break here. But it's more about the National Security Council, which is most likely the guidance of through this NSC 68, which many of the State Department and those referred to constantly as a National Security Council. And it was those like Oliver North who cited as a reason for the Cold War with the Soviet Union that we had all of this build up through Central and Latin America, the wars throughout Asia, and this was to thwart the so-called advance of communism. Well, sorry, it's in Washington, D.C. right now, so they were looking in the wrong place, let alone that they killed millions of people for nothing, as well as their own soldiers there. Anyway, of course, this Cold War was created. It was all to justify the ungodly spending of the Pentagon and others to help keep, or in this case, build the empire as we see today, which is, well, basically in total freefall and collapse. And it's being pumped up with this massive fiat money system. And that's how bad it's getting. The call-in number again is 512-248-8252. But what we should learn from this, again, is I care about the human side of things, the deadly toll. And if you search the archives of war, it does not matter which side you fought on. All young men out there who are, say, shot in the gut, their hand clenched over their mortal wound, their last words is they're all screaming for their mommy. And this is in country after country. And what we see, though, is that it's these global elite that through, I would call, a planned genocide, have the young men fight each other that don't know each other, that live 2,000 to 9,000 miles away from each other, and they ferment these wars with your politicians using evil Muslims, the John Waynes of the world talking about them savage Indians, and the list goes on. I don't want to use the ones I learned back in the Vietnam era, but they're very derogatory, and this transfers to the American psyche. To send boys over there to kill those evil Muslims, sand, you know what they call them, and the list goes on. And matter of fact, there's an entire, the slang words used during the Iraq war of how to basically dehumanize your so-called opponent. And again, this war was based on a total lie. I've also highlighted that video of the largest graveyard in Iraq. It houses, that's a word to use, it has over 5 million bodies buried there, and that's just one of five graveyards. The drone footage is spectacular, and you have to realize the amount of bodies buried there, and then realize that most of this stuff was all fermented through the Contras by sending arms through there, up to the Saudis, up to into Iraq, to then be used again with Iran. And the daisy chain of the massive amount of drugs through the CIA that have infiltrated the cities of America, as well as other areas of the world, through airlines like Air America, and turned our cities into slums, addictions, addiction centers, hospital bills, the deaths. And this is all to keep the government going. And so when I look at certain callers on this network that want to bitch about immigrants and stuff, I always think of the illegal immigrants, of those in the U.S. armed forces that have illegally entered into a country, occupied it, raped, pillaged, and plundered that entire country. So anyway, breaks up, so we'll be right back. Again, 512-248-8252.
Everybody rolls, loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling. A
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Sing and dance and it don't walk. Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Keith Rogers here with Perception Management. And I wanted to finish up one thing. You know, when you look at this archive footage there of, say, Vietnam and the alive bodies melted together from the different uses of bombs, or the U.S. soldiers with their legs blown off, or arms blown off, or penis and scrotum blown off. You can Google that story. The amount of carnage that is done for these elite to control and destroy nationalism, just like they're doing in this country here. So with that, I have a caller, Charles in Florida. Good morning there, Charles.
Yeah, how you doing, Roger, your name's Roger, first name?
Keith Rogers.
Rogers, okay, Perception Management. I've listened to some of your... I wanted to call people's attention. I don't know if you mind on the website, thetruthseeker.co.uk from England, from the United Kingdom. They had some interesting article. I don't know if you've covered it, about Saudi Arabia is now losing so much in oil revenue and losses against Yemen that they're giving up the war, and the United States is helping. You know, after all this genocidal attack on the Yemeni people, they find that Saudi Arabia, with its decadent playboy so-called military, can't even fight them and kill primitive Yemenis. So they're giving up, and they're losing vast shares of oil revenue too, due to this pandemic of phony hoax that's going on now worldwide under the World Health Organization and CDC and Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci, et cetera.
Yeah, well, Charles, this is like that Suez Canal being blocked right now. They say it's going to be Wednesday before they free it. You know, you have to think of all the military vessels that pass through those things, and what could hook onto one of those, that cargo ship, and just jerk it off that mud little bank it's on like that. But they're saying they're losing $200 million a day in revenue. And, of course, this brings further starvation and lockdowns. Do you see the pattern that's going on here? And I agree with you on Yemen. Yemen has done nothing to the United States. The problem is, though, is where it's located, and it's all to control the shipping lanes. And they want to blame Iran for everything. But it reminds me of the result of reading the Pentagon Papers, of where the maker of RAND Corporation thought that this indiscriminate bombing would break the resolve of the people. And what it did is it forced them underground to where we had the Vietnam tunnel rats. These guys went underground, and they got even stronger. And this is the resolve of the Houthis over there.
Well, you know the Green Beret. Back in the 1960s, our group of Patriotic Society over in Tampa, from Vietnam, describing about how the Green Berets were having this village system. A village for the Vietnamese peasants was driving them in the arms of the Viet Cong, because the village in Vietnam where they located is where their household gods were. It's like desecrating a church or a temple. So
well,
in that, effect,
the same thing with ISIS.
Green Berets
ISIS
were their global.
Yeah,
you know, that's how crazy it was. And this was from an officer in the Green Beret that was before our group.
Yeah, well, like I say, the Green Berets are in Yemen right now. And again, what is the U.S. Special Forces doing in Yemen?
Yeah, of course. It's just sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
Yeah.
It's worse than the British Empire ever thought of being. Of course, we're an extension of it.
Yeah, it's sold
we used
under
to
false
be junior
patriotism.
Partners.
Yeah, it's sold under false patriotism. You know, you're supposed to feel sorry for when they called it an insurgent blows up a unit of the army or something like that over there. But you got to remember, these guys are freedom fighters. They're fighting for their country that's being taken over. And it's no different than that you saw in France when under Germany's occupation. They blew up bridges and everything. So,
right. That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, Charles, I got to move along. Got another caller down
well,
Texas.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Call me anytime, okay? Pat, down there in Texas, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say that I keep hearing a lot of things that kind of go counter to what I remember happening. And you can say, well, you read the wrong thing. Well, I probably got some books. I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying about CIA. We already know about the FBI. We've been knowing about that for years, from Waco to what they did to Trump and on and on and on. But everybody acts like the good guy was always Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi. But I have different stories. I have a missionary friend I kept here 4 years, African, black, and he said I told him, when you go over there this time, unfortunately, you're not going to have a good time. I don't know what's going to happen. So he came back, and he said that Gaddafi was asking people, do you want short sleeves or Sierra Leone? And he was, you want short sleeves or long sleeves? And whatever they answered, that's where he cut their arms and hands off, both of them, so they even had to have somebody to dress them. Now, that's the kind of good guy y'all always take it up for. And the other one is Saddam Hussein. Please, 20% of
Pat, remember, what? Saddam Hussein was originally backed up by the CIA. You remember Rumsfeld Shaker?
I'm not taking up. Well, let me finish my whole purpose for calling. I'm not taking up for the CIA whatsoever. And you know how we made a lot of mistakes. A friend of my friend is a whatever, you know, all that crap. Well, the point is, though, that we did try to rebuild Iraq. Billions of dollars were spent, our own soldiers rebuilding. And a lot of them, and in Iraq, Baghdad, they had plenty because that's where Saddam was. They had electricity and everything, and the rest of the country had nothing. But they were real happy after we left because they got electricity.
Yeah, Pat, remember, I could read to you the account of what Ramsey Clark described what happened in Iraq there.
Ramsey Clark Pat,
you're piecemealing things, though. What Iraq had, the United States blew up, and that's why they had to rebuild it. And you have to remember, with the United States always bragging about precision missiles, they could have at any time taken out Saddam, but they destroyed the entire country so that U.S. contractors could go in there and make buck on it.
They never knew. Well, I don't want to get into the exact take. I mean, I knew people over there, and I knew what they told me, personal experiences. He had 70 castles. And 80% of the people were poor and skinny. And his 20% were...
Sounds like America, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're so bad off. I mean, you know, people around here starving to death. I know a guy who gives out 11,000 pounds of food every week. You just can't believe Army. You can't believe nobody. Okay?
Well, like I say, there's ample videos, Pat, of down, like, even in Riverside. When I was younger, Riverside was an immaculate town down there, but... he drives for miles and miles and miles of nothing but homeless tents and everything like that. This is America. They're under bridges.
California, part of this nation. It's been taken over a long time ago. Well, I went to school there, and I know when it started. It started when the communists had taken over the universities in the 60s, and that's,
you're correct.
I was there. I saw.
You're correct on that, Pat.
Yes, I am.
This is all being devised from inside the United States.
People as old as me, because then they change all the daggone history books.
Well, you're right on that. Yeah, but remember, Pat, you just cited the 60s, which is an era I grew up in. And remember, this whole country started going down from there, and we have the conditions that we have today. And like I say, while they were telling U.S. soldiers to go 9,000 miles away over to Vietnam to fight some communists there, the commies were already situated here in America.
I know it, but... you know, everybody made fun of them, and they were right, okay? And I know about 20 years ago, about 70% of the Democrats up there were card-carrying communists right here in this country.
Yes, yep.
You're
and
not
they bragged
telling
about
me
it.
Nothing. And idiots. I was in the 60s, and I saw idiots. I mean, I was at the school where they first integrated in Norfolk, Virginia, and closed the school down because some idiot went out there and did some kind of hung up somebody effigy or something. Nobody was behind that but the idiot. But the newspaper is the one. I have watched newspapers. I mean, I wasn't that old. I was in high school. I lost. Well, it set me back a whole year because we were on a semester system, and they were on a year system when I got to California. So I had to start over. That's okay. You know, I saw firsthand the lies in the newspaper and what I saw with my own eyes.
Right.
Early.
Well, Pat,
okay.
I've played on my show the clip from the Red Scare where they were talking about this. Of course, they used the Soviets back then. We all know it's the Bolsheviks. But the point was, is where they take over a town, they take over its mayor, they take over the police department, they take over the media and stuff. And we know exactly today who's doing that. And it's not the Soviets. It's not the Chinese. It's these commies that we have here, as well as those dual citizens that run the entire country here.
Okay. We can make blank statements, but we need to. Okay, I'm going to ask you another question. Everybody keeps talking about the military-industrial complex. Well, that was coined by Eisenhower. Does anybody ever talk about the book called Other Losses, where Eisenhower had a camp up there in Canada where he was mistreating the Germans more than we ever would have?
Well, you said Canada, though. Remember, he had a camp up there in the Rhine, the Rhine Meadows camps. Yeah, but he had the Rhine Meadows camp where over a million Germans were starved to death.
I would quote somebody like Eisenhower, please.
Yeah. Remember, his diary said he hated Germans.
Well, another thing, too. Well, I don't know. I'm running on things. But I keep hearing all this all the time, and people that were there tell you something different. And I know one thing that happened when we went into Iraq the second time, okay? I don't even want to go into what Saddam did in between the first and the second time, okay? But yeah. God helped our troops. I mean, a windstorm came by. Well, what I did is crack ribs, and I could not move. I sat in front of the TV the whole time. I mean, I couldn't breathe and prayed, you know? And a windstorm came up, and all of the mines that he had mined, all the places he had already set it on fire. He set on all of those oil wells on fire. If it hadn't been for America, say again himself, who didn't live that long, who said we're going to have nuclear winter from this, blah 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 blah, blah, you know, or nuclear whatever, you know. And they sent in. Americans had 16,000 people coming there from all over the world putting out those oil wells. And we got it, and it was finished in a year.
Right, so, which would never have happened if the United States had not entered there. Remember, the U.S. used Kuwait as an excuse. Pat, hang on. The U.S. used Kuwait as an excuse. And as the U.S. soldiers went into Kuwait to push the Iraqis out, we had the highway of death, the massive burial grounds of Iraqis, both alive and dead, being buried by bulldozers alongside that road. We also had the U.S. at the same time sending arms from Jordan to Saddam. So the U.S. soldiers that were killed and stuff or injured were being killed by the very arms the United States was sending.
Okay, the arms have been taken and used for the wrong purpose. For a long time, I've noticed that myself.
Yeah,
but
it's like this virus. If this virus was about saving lives, why don't they stop? If this virus is about saving lives, Pat, if this virus is about saving lives, if this virus is about saving lives, Pat, why do you keep interrupting me? If this virus is about saving lives, they would stop the wars, they would stop the billions of dollars in arms sales, and they'd call us a quit. But what they did is they said, we need to halt the war so we can get people vaccinated, and then you can go out and kill each other again. Does that make sense?
Well, you can change the subject, because I just wanted to talk about things that we saw happen.
Yeah.
I mean...
Be on the other side, Pat, of those countries that have put up with U.S. aggression all through the Indochina, the massive amount of hundreds of thousands of being killed by the CIA throughout Indonesia, down through Guatemala, the massive right-wing dictators they put in charge in Chile. I mean, these people, too, have had to look at America as a savior, you know, but as the aggressor.
I know one thing it's been lied about. And I don't like Ollie North, you know, I have nothing to do with him. But the point is that the Contras did need some help, but it wasn't that we were helping them. What Israel discovered one time, that the Soviets in Sinai, Lebanon, had miles and miles and miles underground planning to take over the whole country, and they discovered it, and it took them 3 months of semi-tractor trailer stuff to get it out. And they sent a whole bunch of it to the Contras, and it's in a book that doesn't exist except my copy.
Yeah, we have evidence that Israel sent arms to the Contras. But anyway, Pat, I got to roll here. My break's coming up, but I do appreciate you calling in, okay? Anyway, my break is coming here, but again, I have this set up here, again, for what we see of this building of the empire and what was being used. And this church committee, this is available online and is full. Now, I haven't got the entire clip to play here. I would have to cut every single commercial out and stuff like that, but this is just one of them. And then we have the Pike Report, which is even more damaging. This is knowledge that Americans were not supposed to hear. So with that, I'll be right back. This is Keith Rogers of Perception Management.
If you'll pardon me, I'd like to say we do okay, Reverend Blue Jeans. Maybe tonight, maybe tonight by the fire, all alone, you and I. Nothing around but the sound of my heart and your sigh. Hey, money talks, but it don't sing and dance.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What I just can't find.
with someone new. I've tried other loves, but they won't do. All I want is one I had with you. Looking back,
welcome back, everyone.
In time, I see.
You're listening to Perception Management here with Keith Rogers on Republic Broadcasting Network. Hey, before I go, I have another caller here, but I want to read this thing real fast. Yeah, we talked about how evil Saddam was and stuff. However, the FBI seized over 3,000 penises during a raid at a morgue employee's home. The FBI made astonishing discovery this morning while executing a search warrant at the residence of a Houston mortician, where they found 3,178 embalmed human penises. You talk about people being sick. They come from every tribe. That's why we have shooters and other things like that. You know, when people go bust, they go bust. It's amazing, you know, the stuff that we see out here today. Anyway, Joe in Oklahoma, good morning.
Good morning, Keith. Good to have you on Sunday morning. It's good time to listen. I really appreciate your perception, if you will, of what goes on in the world today. And there's very little that I've heard you say over time that I could disagree with. I wish there's two callers call into different programs in on RBN, and I really wish that they would really consider changing their behavior about talking over the host.
Yes.
And you just had one. The lady is she's quite knowledgeable, but I don't think she has all the cards in her deck lined. You know, this deal, the CIA and our government has helped every one of these tyrants, every one of them,
yes,
get to the point where they were. Every one of them. I know a lady that's a dental hygienist, and she had a brother that worked as an agronomist for Muammar Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have enough good things to say about the way Gaddafi treated these people.
Right.
You know.
And
if you come in and start trying to knock down my door, I'm going to resist.
Right.
And I'm going to use whatever means necessary. And that's what Pat, I don't think, is looking at, is she's looking after the fact instead of before the fact. Was Eugene McCarthy actually right? I'm 72 years old, and I'm about convinced he was.
Right. All right. Well, I got to roll here, Joe, but hey, I do appreciate your call, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll be back next hour.
I have only a few more years to spend since the
gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, And when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.